Welcome to Motherhood Unstressed, a podcast for anyone who wants to let go of stress and anxiety, take their power back, and learn how to create a truly beautiful life. Each week, I'm speaking with amazing individuals who are experts in the field of entrepreneurship, fitness, nutrition, motherhood, sex, and so much more. I'm your host, Liz Carlisle. I'm a mom, a blogger, and a certified health coach. I'm obsessed with personal growth and change, and I've helped women all around the world regain alignment with what they truly value in life and remove the blocks preventing them from living their life to the fullest. If you're ready to stop living a half life and move fully into your power, then you're in the right place. Let's get started. Hey guys, in this episode, I'm speaking with Jessica Calderon. She's a Reiki master and shaman, and I wanted to ask her about shamanism, what it is, and how we can all incorporate elements of shamanism into our lives. So she educates us on what it's all about, how we can connect to nature, and how important that is for our livelihood and our happiness. And we also talk about shadow work, and this is when you dive deep into the skeletons in your closet and things that trigger you and things you might not even know trigger you, and bring about more self-awareness and healing through that. So it's tough work, but it's absolutely important work. And so I'm so excited to share this episode with you and bring more awareness to this topic into your life, and so that you can start thinking about ways that you can connect to nature and connect to spirit and work on the things that you're not exactly happy with in your life. So enjoy. And this episode is sponsored by Motherhood Unstressed CBD Supplements. Guys, these are the supplements that I created with the intention of helping you, the listener, deal with stress, anxiety, pain, and inflammation in a natural way. And as a mom, I was always stressed out. I was always snapping and losing my cool. And it really took a lot of internal work, and it still does every single day. And then when I came across CBD, it was like I had this extra tool in my toolkit that really helped me. And I mean that. It helped me sleep better. It helped me recover after workouts. I felt more grounded and calm in the morning. And I recommend just taking two with your morning coffee for 2 weeks straight. And then after that, going to one pill. And that's what I do today. And I'm telling you, it has been a game changer. So you can pick up your bottle at motherhoodunstressed.com under CBD supplements and start feeling better today. Well, hey, Jessica, I'm so excited to have you back on the show. It's been a few months. And like I was just saying, like so much has happened, so much has changed. So I'm so excited to get into all of that with you and just learn more about shamanism and how we can all use it in our lives.
Thank you. Thanks for having me again. I love talking about all this fun stuff.
So I saw you at a yoga class a few months ago, and you kind of just mentioned in passing, like, I'm going to be unavailable during this time because I'm going to study with my shamanic master. And when you said that, I was just, what? I was like, my mind just started going, what is this? And what are you doing? And what's going on? So obviously I had to have you on the show to talk about it and your experience, but how did your journey into shamanism really begin? Take us through that journey.
Okay. So about, I want to say 2 years ago, going through all my healing work with Reiki and just kind of going on my journey. And I really kind of felt drawn to learning about shamanism and really understanding what it is. I just kept getting these during meditation. I kept thinking about it. It kept coming through to me. I started, seeing people that were talking about it. So I knew that that was a message for me to just investigate it, but I kind of left it for a little bit and just kind of went about my life. About a year ago, I wound up kind of falling into where my teacher kind of fell into my life. And I was really attracted to the energy of this shaman. And I just kind of pursued it, and it just, again, like everything aligned at the right time. And I didn't even really know what I was getting myself into, but it just felt right. And I just decided to go with it. And as I started going through my training, I started doing some research. I realized that some of the stuff that I was already doing was part of the shamanic tradition in some of my sessions with my Reiki and energy healing. So I felt like, okay, this is why I'm supposed to be here, because it's something that I'm already doing that maybe I didn't even understand that I was doing. So it brought more awareness to that and understanding of why that was coming up. And for instance, I do have, especially during sessions or even just in my life, I am very aware that animals, animal spirits come through and give me messages, and just realizing and very connected to nature, as we all are. Like, everything that I do and everything that I've learned is really just something that's available to all of us. And, you know, there's not certain people that can be healers and certain people that can be, you know, part of this connection. It really is all of our journey and all of our abilities that we have within us as spiritual beings and connectedness. But I think what happens is we're all on this journey and path, and we're all on different levels. And depending on how much work we do, some people, mm-hmm. you know, are very awake, some people are not, but it's not that we're better than anybody else or anybody is better. That's the ego getting in the way. It's just, this is my path and this is the work that I've done, and I'm able to connect. But I try to empower people to realize that they all have this ability, and I'm not better or in a different place, from a higher place than anybody else. It's just, this is the work that I've done.
I love that you said that, because I was listening to another podcast, and I think it was a medium on there, and he's like, it's not, you know, it's not anything special. It's actually just a skill set. And some people choose to really hone that skill set and get good at it and really, you know, expand it, whereas others just completely are shut off to it. So it's like anything, you know, you practice Absolutely. Anything and it like increases. I love that.
Yeah, definitely. It's just, you know, I did a lot of inward work. Stuff started kind of, I guess when I first moved to Atlanta, stuff was starting to kind of fall apart around me, and it gave me a chance to dive in and do a lot of inward motion of finding out what's going on within me. And during that time, I started to feel very connected, started channeling, and started connecting to really just trusting that what was coming through was the messages I needed to hear, the messages other people needed to hear. And if people are open to it, great. If they're not, great. It's just a matter of, here I am delivering what I feel and what I've experienced, and you take it however which way you want to.
And I feel like the people who do resonate with the messages that you're sending out, like, they're already like on a similar vibration as you. You know, it's that alignment factor. You know, people come into your life because you're aligned with them. Like, I truly, truly believe that. And so I'm always working at trying to have a very high vibration, you know, positive thinking. I talked about positive affirmations, just really lifting myself up so that I'm bringing in the best people, the people that, you know, I can help and that are going to help me, and that we're all just going to just get better and better and better. But diving in, what is shamanism for our listeners who may have no clue about it, and who is it for?
Okay, so shamanism actually, it kind of resonates in a different way depending on where it's coming from. So it kind of resonated from, you know, there's Peruvian, there's a lot of different types of shamanism. Some of them use plant medicine, some of them don't. Who I actually stemmed from, one of my teachers, Gregory Drambor, who I respect and honor very much, and his vulnerability. And that is kind of why I was very drawn to him. He's very real and open, and just in his own way, he resonates and creates this authenticity that really drew me to him. And so he actually was studying under Native American shamanism, medicine men. And so that really drew me into that. But he doesn't necessarily do a lot of plant medicine. And, you know, and I think that that's kind of dependent on the person. He believes that we can reach certain things without using that. And I think it's just each person is different. Some people need a kind of like a boost to get into a different place, and some people don't. Now, what I'm talking about in this idea of what shamanism is to me, and from what I've learned and experienced, is it's connection to nature. It's honoring all living things and knowing that everything around us is messages and guidance. So that's part of it. And then the other part is understanding that we have shadow work to do and we have soul work to do, and really diving deep into ourselves and creating this journey within to unravel all the illusions and fears that we have created in order to cope with life and certain situations. So a lot of my work in shamanism is understanding and trusting that everything is a message and everything is working with me to find my best authentic truth, and being able to step away from these barriers and walls and illusions and masks that I have created in order to, you know, cope with my life, but also working with other people to do the same.
This sounds like the most incredibly hard work.
Oh yeah, it is. It's very deep work, using a lot of, you know, different techniques. I use a lot of breath work, shamanic breath work involved. I use, specifically on me, I use a lot of nature, whether I bring it into a place or I'm outside. I make sure that I take walks and I'm constantly outside in nature. And, you know, even if it rains, like that's part of it. And it's part of a cleansing and using all of the elements involved in healing myself and others and bringing that deeper connection to and honoring all living things. So walking lightly on the earth, invoking the idea that everything is energy, and we're, you know, nature is so peaceful and vibrates to our heart and vibrates to our truth, so it can help to allow us to see what's actually going on versus what we think is going on, and getting out of our minds and getting out of the negotiations and getting out of the, you know, hostage situation that we create within our minds and barriers that we create. So it's really important for people to get outside and be in nature and honor that and support that for a holistic healing experience. Something, you know, sound is also really important, drumming, and I use some music that, you know, can stir up a lot of emotions and feelings, and that's what it's used to do, so that we can unravel and kind of take away the debris that we have around us that creates a lot of anxiety. And when I say debris, it's like emotional debris that creates a lot of anxiety and creates a lot of sadness and depression, and anything that's not our truth, anything that's not feeling peaceful and loving is really a lot of what we've created our reality to be.
God, I mean, every time, like, it just completely resonated with what, like, every new point that you just said. And it's like, I think I was reading an article a couple weeks ago, and it was, you know, using the science behind getting out into nature, and what it actually does to the brain is fascinating. Like, it really does put you in a different state of consciousness where you start to blur the lines between who you are and the outside. And then, like you said, you actually do see it as it is, rather than, well, this is just my lens of what's going on. Because I feel like so many times we are just completely living, you know, for lack of a better analogy, in the matrix. You know, we don't really see what's happening. Everything is just blurred under, you know, our perceptions and our past traumas and, you know, oh, she looked at me this way, so this must mean this and that. And that person has no clue what you're even, you know, where you even got that from. I mean, it's just, it's really interesting. And I find that so many people aren't exploring that and doing the little internal work. And I'm not talking about going and studying with a shamanic master or anything like that, but just noticing, you know, is this true? Like, is what I'm really interpreting, what I'm perceiving, is that actually true? Or do I need to just go for a walk out in nature and breathe and really just get out of my head, because so many times we're just, like you said, you're creating a prison for yourself, and it's just so unnecessary. So I love that you said that. So since, you know, getting into shamanism, how has your life expanded, or how, you know, could our listeners' lives possibly expand from becoming one with nature, but I mean, essentially kind of, establishing more shamanic practices in their life?
It really is. You know, it's like, it's as simple as, and as hard as that.
Right.
It sounds simple and easy to just, you know, take a walk and, you know, not with your phone, not with any distractions of technology, and truly kind of strip down to the basics of life and know that every single thing that's around us is a message for us. The animals, the sounds that we hear, people that pop up into our lives and say something, you know, you might be walking and for some reason, someone catches your attention. It could be someone that you know, someone you don't know, and they're saying someone's name, or they're saying something that really resonates with you or catches your attention. That's a message for you. We have so many messages around us and guidance and support from the seen and unseen worlds. And, you know, the unseen worlds tend to be a little bit harder for us to grasp and a little bit harder for us to experience, because we do get in our head and we're very, you know, physical beings that want the tangible. I want to see this, and I don't really want to feel it because I don't trust myself. And that happens a lot. And, you know, I think that that's just going to happen through a lot of, you know, people's lives and learning about that. But when you start to trust yourself and trust the feelings and gut feelings, if you want to say, or the downloads that come through you, I mean, we're constantly getting wisdom downloaded through us, but it's a matter of, do we receive it or not? And it's just opening yourself up to, you know, how everyone can experience more of this shamanic or life of connectedness in nature is, yeah, taking walks in nature, grounding yourself, be barefoot, touch the trees, touch the all of nature, and knowing that in touching and connecting and acknowledging everything that's around you is honoring that. And then when you honor them, they honor you, and they will give you energy. They will take any anxiety from you. They will, and I say they as in, yes, like the trees, the plants, the rocks, all of that. You know, I use a lot of crystals, and that's like the rock people. And they help to absorb a lot of negative energy that maybe you have taken on through other people or other situations or just your own way of coping with something. So they're very stable, stable sources that help us to revitalize ourselves. And, you know, and knowing that, you know, who are we to move things? I have a funny story that I was taking a walk with one of my friends, and I was kind of talking about nature and talking about how everything around us is a sign and a story and a message. And as I was talking, and you know, we were kind of just walking through this path, and I kind of stopped for a moment, and I looked down, and I saw this beautiful kind of sparkly rock. And I, without question, without anything, I just picked it up and started walking. And the minute I took one step, I just dropped it, because I heard, just because I'm shiny doesn't mean you need to pick me up. And I was like, oh my God, that's right. Who am I to take something and put it in a different place? Like, so it's those types of things that start to come through. And I was taught a lot of that, like, be respectful for every living thing. Like, just because I can pick up a rock and move it doesn't mean that that's what's supposed to be. And, you know, we are at the same level that all of nature is, and getting out of the idea that we're bigger and better than anything.
Mm-hmm.
All living things, like even ants and insects and all of that, do we, you know, think we're better than them and kill them? And do we think that, you know, I deserve to live and this thing doesn't, so I'm going to kill it? Like, who are we to say that? And, you know, it's hard to, and that's part of the practice of just understanding that. And, it's not easy, you know, out of fear, we do things. Out of fear of, oh, maybe I don't like spiders. And when I see one, it's like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to kill it, but I also don't want it here and it's making me nervous or something. Right. And how do I deal with that situation? Well, I think to myself, why am I fearful right now? And I'm saying this because actually I did have a fear of spiders for a really long time. And forgetting that I had a trauma when I was little, of, you know, getting bit by them. And I totally blanked that out. And, you know, through my process of learning and healing and restoring, I kind of realized that. So I look at them now and I may still have this fear, but I look at them as the manifestors. They are the ones that weave the web of your life. So looking at that animal or the insect or whatever it may be, instead of looking at yourself as a victim, like this thing is going to hurt me or this thing is scary and I don't like it and it's making me uncomfortable, but to look at it as the message of, I need to create my life. I need to, you know, look at my life in a different way. What am I weaving? What web am I creating? And then, you know, honoring it and saying thank you for that message and realizing that we can live in this world together. And then, you know, maybe needing to carry it out in some way. But, you know, looking at it in a different way lessens the fear. And I'm saying this, you know, it takes time and effort and, you know, and then if something, yeah, obviously if you do kill something by mistake or even on purpose, saying to yourself, like, you know, I'm sorry, or honoring that as a part of the process and not beating yourself up about it, but, you know, looking at things, you know, like even when people, you know, eating and, you know, killing your food and then eating it. But what do? We bless that food and we say, thank you for providing me these nutrients. Thank you for this food. Thank you for, like, you know, it's like the idea of Thanksgiving. I mean, why can't that be all the time? Like, thankful for the food that we eat, the nourishment that we get, whether it be from another living thing, like even plants, anything that we are consuming or working with. It's having this feeling of respect and gratitude and compassion for all.
I love that. And whether you believe it or not, I fully believe this. When you do bless your food before you eat it, I find that you get so much more out of it. Even if it's not the healthiest thing that you're eating, if you're grateful for that food, like, it works with your body in a different way. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure years from now, they'll have the science to back it up, like the energy that's exchanged. But even the experiments with water, when people say, you know, beautiful things to a glass of water, and then they crystallize it. The crystals are beautiful. And then when you say harsh things to that, a different glass of water, and then they freeze it, you know, it's the crystals are messy and ugly. And, you know, just, it's really, really interesting. So
absolutely. Yeah. I've
connect with that. I mean,
that Dr. Emoto had that.
Yes.
Just in water. Yeah. And they've done a lot of stuff also with like plants, bullying plants, and then being very loving and noticing the growth and seeing what happens. I mean, and to your point, to understand and having some science behind it, I mean, it really is also like words are energy, and words that are very loving and nurturing and caring are vibrating at a higher frequency, which lifts the energy, which creates more life and more vibrance. And then all the things that, you know, are negative vibrate to a lower frequency, which, you know, there's a grounding element to it, which pulls it down into the world and into the earth and creates this more grounding. So we need both, but the more negative, the lower we are, the more we feel in this like sluggish, low energy. So yeah, all of that is part of it, part of the process. And we're all human, and just, you know, we try to vibrate at this higher vibration. But we are human and we have things happen. And so being sad and upset about things sometimes. I mean, yes, we want to shift that as fast as we can, but knowing that if you are in that place, like, it's okay to feel, it's okay mm-hmm. to be in a place of that, but how long do you stay there? And I think, you know, trying to work and create this like loving vibe. And every time you think negative things about ourselves, we're rejecting ourselves. We're rejecting ourselves in this like creation of, we are saying that, you know, who am I to be here and who am I to be in a place of this, which is not what we're here for. We are loving, vibrant beings and here to support and love each other and guide us all in this journey of life and being in this humanness, right? And mm-hmm. So surrounding yourself with more loving words and loving people and supportive people when you are in a place that's sad and down and or mad and angry, and bringing yourself into or seeking out someone at like a shaman or a healer of some sort to maybe kind of bring you into a place that you can work. Because sometimes people are at a place that they can't even get through themselves. So that's where maybe a shaman or another type of healer would need to step in to kind of shake things up a little bit and bring some guidance and support to this person as they empower themselves to move forward.
I love that. And so I'm really curious, I mean, you talked a little bit earlier about the shadow side. How does shamanism honor that and help you explore that while not, you know, wallowing and getting too lost in it? Because I find that, you know, people who are more spiritual have a lot of shadow side to begin with, and that's why they're drawn to it and want to explore that and get deep and into the dark. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So, you know, working into the depths of our being and what's actually coming up for us, whether it be like a deep, dark contract that we make with ourselves. And I say deep, dark, and that sounds really scary. But it's really these contracts that we make with ourselves when we are, you know, growing in childhood and we decide I'm not worthy or I'm not loved or, you know, whatever we have created this contract of, this is my dark side. This is the side of me that's the illusion. But you contract in and you say, okay, this is me, right? Because of a situation or because of some trauma that's happened. So when someone has that, their thoughts and their mindset is really in a place that's not enabling them for healing themselves. So if they can work with someone like a shaman to dive into that through some techniques, which would be, like I was mentioning earlier, some shamanic breathing. I also kind of like maybe taking someone out in nature and connecting them to their truth, connecting them and guiding them into understanding what messages are coming up for them, not necessarily just through me, but what's coming up through them. So I like to talk to people and get an understanding of what's going on. And I hear what their patterns and thoughts are. And then working with them, whether it be in nature or with some music that I have, that's like a drumming or kind of stimulating music that brings everything up to the surface. And then I have this way of kind of moving through the elements and allowing the elements and visualizations to bring out these contracts. And sometimes people, you know, need to work a bunch to get that through. It's not like, oh, one time shot and they're done. Depending on how deep and how aware of that contract they are, some people may not be, so it may take multiple sessions to get through. It may take, you know, a couple, and then just like working to release the pattern and habit that happens as well. But I really work to try to help people empower themselves, because if I'm always working with them and helping them, and they're always coming to me, I feel like that's not the work. It's the work of ourselves really focusing on what's coming up and what we need to do and work through. So to understand those contracts that we've made with ourselves and understanding what work we need to do. And sometimes it's not so, you know, our work is not fun, and it's a lot of, you know, triggers and stuff that we may have thought we've dealt with and said, okay, this is it. And then they all come back because
I thought I dealt with that. I thought you were
right. Exactly. So we think, you know, oh, I've worked through that already, but then it comes up again in a different way because we really haven't unhooked that from our being. And we really on the surface may have dealt with it, but then something else comes in. And if it still is triggering us, like we need to look at that and not to criticize or judge ourselves, but to say, okay, this is something I need to still work on. And I'm thankful and grateful for this blessing of it being shown to me again.
Yeah. Oh, I love that take on it. I'm going to use that next time. I'm triggered.
Right? Because when we are, we tend to get defensive and tend to push away and resist it. But if you can look at yourself and say, okay, I need to see this. This is a lesson. This is another message for me. This is another way of the universe, life, this person, this situation showing me what I need to work on.
And if, you know, for our listeners, they're like, well, how do I know if I'm triggered? Like in my case, it's like you feel it in your body. It's this tightening. It's this contracting. It's like the lower vibrational emotions all coming up. So if that happens to you, that's probably a good indication that something's going on and needs to be addressed.
Yes. And also like the idea of like being defensive about something. You have a conversation with someone and, you know, they get very defensive or you get very defensive. Everything that's, you know, going on in our lives is not always about the other person. It's about us. It's about us being shown something. And if we could acknowledge that, you know, that's really important for our growth.
I love that. So what's been the most surprising thing that you've learned from studying shamanism?
The most surprising thing. Well, I've definitely learned a lot more about myself. You know, there were some things that came up for me that I kind of knew, again, like I thought I dealt with, and it came up in different ways. So that was interesting. My idea of what shamanism was coming into it, I did think it was all like plant medicine. I did think it was all about kind of getting into an altered state of mind, but realizing, and it's interesting that I went through and I found, you know, my teachers and my mentors and my guidance was actually not from that. So it was interesting because I feel like I did that because it wasn't the only way. And if I went that way, I might've only thought like I've been closed off to this is the way, this is the only way. And I'm not saying that, you know, anybody who does it with the plant medicine, I think again, like I was mentioning earlier, is that everyone just, it depends on where you are and what you need. And whoever, you know, shows up in your life, like whether they do the plant medicine or they don't, I think that that's just what we need. And getting away from what we think we need, like getting into the mind of, no, I need this because mm-hmm. this is the way I want it to be. And instead just being open and surrendering to what it is that I truly need, not what I want.
I love that. So if you're listening, you don't have to fly to Peru and drink the ayahuasca. You can, right. You can find your own path with your own teacher. Right. I love that.
And, you know, but if that's your route, I mean, more power to you. Go for it.
Right? I definitely want to do an episode on that. So that's coming because I'm super interested in plant medicines and I've never done it, but it's really intriguing to me.
Yeah, I think it was intriguing to me. Then I just kind of like let it go. But now I'm kind of like, okay, when it's the time and if it's the time, I'm kind of, you know, invested in that. But really the idea of nature and connection is where I've explored. And the other part of like, you know, the shadow work, but it's also the inner child work is a big part of what I do as well. And working with people to release that trauma from the inner child, and I say trauma and I mean, I didn't have trauma, or quote unquote, I didn't think I had trauma growing up. You know, I looked at my life and my family, like we were great and everything was great, but I had a lot of darkness come up for me, and a lot of things that I perceived to be true about myself, and realized that there was a lot of inner child work that I had to do on myself. And I'm also a big believer in a lot of things that I do with people are things that I've experienced, because if I haven't experienced it, how can I teach someone? How can I resonate with someone on a level? And not to say that, you know, we all have different levels of the experience, but if I don't do my work, how can I help someone else? Or if I've never experienced inner child work or shadow work, how can I help someone else? Because I really don't understand it from an experience level.
Absolutely. And I think that goes back to that alignment factor. I mean, I think you are attracting clients, whether you realize it or not, who need exactly what you have been through and who are mirroring. Like, I studied that a lot at IAN through my health coaching. And it was like, you're going to attract clients that are either dealing with something that you're currently dealing with as well, or that you need to address, or that you have dealt with. I mean, it's like this strange cosmic thing that happens, but I think it needs to happen.
Yes. And I 100% believe that it's the vibration. It's the law of attraction idea. You're vibrating and you're attracting the people that need the help that you already have been through. And again, it could be different levels, but at least, you know, you're not going to attract someone, like, for instance, for me, I don't have kids. So if I attract people with kids that are going through stuff, I kind of feel disconnected because I really don't understand a lot of that. Because I don't have children, and I actually had gone through that same program for the health coaching. So I know exactly what you're talking about in that. And that's what I was talking about, more food related. But, you know, or someone going through some family stuff, and, you know, I can only understand so much of certain things because I haven't been there, but I can understand personally some things that people have gone through that I've gone through as well. So I think that that's important. And to notice if you aren't attracting the right people, who are you attracting? And is it the same mindset that you have that's not in alignment with what you want?
That what you just said is crucial. I think that is so crucial, because what if, you know, you have this idea of yourself and who you are, and then all these people keep showing up in your life who aren't what you thought, or, you know, that guy that you attracted, or that friend who wasn't, you know, the type of friend that you think you would be with. Why is that happening then? Then I think people really need to turn it inward and say, okay, what's really going on? Why do these people keep showing up in my life? Like, what am I really putting out into the world? Like, that's really important.
Yeah. We are attracting someone that's not who we think we want, or what are they showing us? Like, maybe we attracted them because we are in a place that we're trying to learn from ourselves. And maybe it's a mirror of what we see in ourselves, but maybe we don't want to see it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And then I totally agree with that.
Working through that whole, realizing that that's what it is, and blessing that lesson.
So for our listeners, what can they start doing today to start incorporating elements of shamanism for positive change?
Be outside in nature. If you can do one thing, like take 5 minutes, be outside, close your eyes, breathe, feel the ground below you, or, you know, touching trees, feel your hands, like doing that and just connecting a little bit more. And then the other one I would say is probably a little bit harder, but trusting yourself, trusting your intuition, trusting your gut feelings, trusting when you quiet the mind, trusting what comes in. That thing, that thought that you get out of nowhere, that's your wisdom coming through. And it's not to be pushed away. All the synchronicities that happen in life, you know, it's not to say that's crazy, that's weird, that's strange, but it's more of, you know, changing our vocabulary to push the unseen away and embrace it and say, of course, I am in synchronicity with this, or this is part of life. And of course, this is happening. Of course, I just met this person that, you know, was talking about this because I need that, or of course this is happening. If we can keep saying that, we embrace and we invite it in instead of saying that's weird, that's strange, I'm going to push that away. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a whole process in understanding that, but you know, connecting meditation, like connecting with yourself, that's a huge part of it as well.
I love it. And I was meditating this morning and like within seconds, I started to feel the energy in my palms. And I just go back to our Reiki class and I was like, oh my God, it's happening.
Yes, yes, exactly. And when you get Reiki attuned, you become, that's part of the process. You become more aware and you become more into that feeling sense of us. And you do have this awakening, from this wisdom that flows through us, and all of that is part of the process. So what we're guided to do and create these shamanism, not everyone's going to love, you know, working with Reiki or, but it's finding who resonates with you as a person and then what they have to offer you. And I think that that's important.
And just going back to that, like, you know, we talk a lot about how hard this is and it's hard work, but like, why would someone want to do all this? Like what's in it for me, you know, for our listeners, why would they want to even study this or explore this more, go outside and experience, like what do they get out of it?
So what you're getting out of is finding your truth, like being more connected to yourself and understanding yourself more and understanding that there is a deeper connectedness that we all have. I mean, we're all here to do our own work. If we're not, we're just kind of walking around asleep and we will feel all of the hardships and the hard elements that are going around us, and we'll become victims. We walk around as victims and we have that victim mentality. I think when we awaken and we start to wake up and peel our eyelids open and feel and experience, we start to see things as more blessings, you know, and again, it's always going to be work. It's not like, you know, one day you're just like, oh, this is it. I'm never going to have issues again because we're human.
I'm awakened.
I'm awakened and nothing will ever happen.
Right.
I just think that, you know, you become more aware of things and you're able to stop yourself from going into old patterns and stuff a little bit more. And I was having a conversation with someone the other day about this idea of control, and we're wanting to control things all the time. And even though we know, I mean, most of us that have been on a journey know that we can't control anything but ourselves and the reactions that we have, and we have no outside control. But yet we still try to control things. And someone had asked me that. And I said, you know, I think it's because the things that we see ourselves controlling from the outside world, these tangible ideas or tangible feelings and oh, I'm not going to control this person, or I'm not going to control this, my schedule or something. But then we start to control the things that are unseen, or the thoughts that come up, or the things that we don't realize we actually are trying to control.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just like our tendency that we go into. And that's a big part of it as well. Like living in this world, trying not to control, because when we do, we create so much tension. When we can learn to surrender and just let go and just be, which again is easier said than done, but it's part of the process of our work. And the more we get in tune to that is there's more freedom for us.
Freedom and just happiness, it sounds like. You know, yeah. you're experiencing life, you're going with the flow of life rather than against it. And when I feel like when you do that, when you get into alignment like that, like I get it sometimes, and when I'm in it, I'm like, yes, this feels amazing. And it's just like things happen, like beautiful things, you know, synchronicity is clicking. I mean, you meet these amazing people and it's like, this is how it's supposed to be. Like, this is how life is supposed to be. Life is supposed to be good and happy. I mean, obviously not all of the time, but man, if you can get into that state as much as possible, like you create a beautiful life. I mean, I feel like that's what it's all about, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, it really all comes down to like love, right? Loving ourselves, loving all the things that are presented to us, loving nature, and loving people, no matter what, no conditions, no agenda, no anything. It's just unconditional love. And it's funny because I feel like that word is thrown out so much that I don't know if people really truly understand what unconditional means. Like there's, and I've been saying no conditions because I think that that, I don't know, something about that resonates, but there's no conditions with love, no agenda, no, I'm going to do this if you do that, or, you know, with the unseen world as well. It's like loving everything that is, you know, presented to us and provided for us. And it all comes down to that. And there's no, you know, in forgiveness, I mean, that's a huge part of it too, which is forgiving ourselves for something that we thought was not right. I mean, that's a huge part of it too. I mean, if people are hurting, you just send them love. You don't have to be there physically loving them, right? It could be loving energetically and sending people love and light, because we can't be everywhere in the world and we can't be with people all the time. And so being able to know that we have that power as well, power of loving this no conditions agenda and just keep loving people no matter what they say, do, or act. And I think that's important. And I think it's hard. I do think it's hard, but I think it's really important for us to get into that more compassionate work, mindset of someone's not doing this to me, they are hurting. That's what is actually going on. Because the same thing for us. I mean, if we are saying something, is it really about the other person or is it what's going on within us? So
100%. Yeah. So how do you stay grounded and happy?
So I do a lot of work on myself.
That's what it always comes back to.
Yeah. So, I mentioned earlier, but you know, being outside in nature, I really work that into my everyday and it just becomes me more now. It's not even really work. Connecting and meditating, and my meditation practice changes. It's not just this, you know, sitting upright, straight, without moving. It's sometimes it's walking, taking a walk out in nature. Sometimes it's listening to my drumming music and listening to different sounds. Sometimes I'm sitting and I'm kind of moving side to side and kind of rocking, because rocking is very nourishing for us. Mm. Rocking is like when we were little, you know, we were rocking and feeling supported in that energy. So doing stuff like that, and just really trusting. And if I find that I get in my head too much, breathing, a lot of breath work, shamanic breath work, which is very rapid inhales and exhales, some yogic breathing, and just kind of working in. Again, because I have some tools from different various techniques that I've learned, I just, whatever I need at that moment, I kind of work in. And I do it not just when I might have like a bad day or a bad moment, but I do it on the regular. And of course, you know, I try to work it in. And if something comes up and I can't make it happen, I don't beat myself up. It's okay, when is it going to happen for me today? And I just kind of work it in when it is. I used to be very structured and routine, but I think I was being too rigid with myself. And I realized that, and I was creating more kind of issues against that. Cause I was, if I didn't do it, it was like, oh, Jess, you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so looking at that and not judging myself. And, but when something becomes real and it really works for you, then you just continue to do it. And I think that that's a big part of it too. Like even doing Reiki, I mean, like feeling your palms, feeling the vibrations, you're in your body, feeling all the experiences. And, you know, you can feel your body and maybe there are areas that you are kind of numb to, and knowing that that's a feeling too. The lack of feeling is the feeling.
Absolutely. So
if you are, you know, having something with your heart and you're like, well, going over your heart space and you're like, but I can't really feel the sensation of my skin there, or, you know, going over your belly and you're like, I don't really feel that area of me. I'm not connecting. That should just be, that's your connection. The lack of connection is your connection at that moment, and accepting that and noticing that instead of trying to make something happen.
I love that answer. But I do have some rapid fire questions if you're ready.
Yes. Okay.
Shamanism is?
Healing.
Mm. I believe in?
Myself.
I'm grateful for?
Love.
Love is?
Compassion and I want to say like an energy that is overwhelming.
Ooh, I like that. And you might have answered this. I don't know if I was asking this question yet when I interviewed you the first time, but what's something that you've learned in life that you wish someone would have told you earlier on?
When we go through the life that we go through, I'm a big believer in experiencing everything, and the way that things are experienced is how you're supposed to experience them. If someone told me something, you know, I would have started my healing journey earlier, but I think that the way that everything mapped out in my life is the way it was supposed to be. So I don't really look back and say, I wish that someone could have told me certain things, because then it's almost like not my experience and not how I was supposed to experience everything. I mean, I could go through a bunch of stuff that it was like, oh, I wish I didn't hurt there. I wish I didn't hurt there. I wish I didn't hurt there. But, you know, I look back on everything and I'm actually grateful for all the things that happened within my life and I experienced, because it brought me to who I am today. And I think that that's really important. And that's another reason why when working with people, I don't want to tell people what not to do or what to do, because I think that everyone needs to experience things. I mean, if someone's in a bad relationship, you know, I was in a really, really destructive relationship in my teens. And, you know, I look back and everyone was like, get out of it. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And yeah, I was hurting and I was in pain, but I almost felt like if I didn't go through that, I might have kept going through those types of relationships because I wouldn't know any better. So I actually think that, you know, experiencing and doing and being, I guess that's my answer.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I think that that's so right on, you know, I mean, where we are now, the lessons that we've learned, you know, happen because we had to go through certain things. I mean, I can definitely agree with that, you know, in my own life. So I'm at the same point, like grateful and aware and learning and always striving to get better. But at the same time, like, we wouldn't be on the paths that we're on helping the people that we're helping if things hadn't happened a certain way. So I totally agree. So how can people find you? What's the best way?
So I have my website. So you can always check out my website, thej-way.com. I have online booking there, so you can book, or you can always shoot me off a message, jessica@thej-way.com. And that's probably the best way to get in touch with me, whether it's email or, you know, going through my website and checking out some of my programs that I have. I have a bunch of retreats that happen near and far. And I also do, and I will be doing, which I'm really excited about, probably launching in January, the Soul Journey Weekend Healing Immersions, which I'll only take a few people at a time. And it will be pretty much local, probably Blue Ridge somewhere. And we're going to be doing some deep healing work. So I'm excited for that, to be launching that in sometime in January. You can catch me locally with yoga. I teach at Yoga Works in Dunwoody majority of the time, and then also having my workshops and my Reiki trainings there as well. So
awesome. And I can't recommend those enough. It was such an experience. It was amazing. Oh,
thank you. It was wonderful having you.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And I am just, my curiosity, I thought I was going to get a lot of, you know, questions answered, but now it's like, I want to learn so much more. So thank you for giving us the primer course on shamanism and just healing and how we all need to kind of deal with some deeper healing in all of our lives, because it's so important for our growth and just our happiness.
Hey guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode with Jessica on shamanism. And if you think a friend might benefit from some of the content that we were talking about, please share it with them. If you're on iTunes, you just press those three dots on the top right and you can share it via text or email. It's super duper easy. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And especially for those of you who have been tuning in week after week. And if this is your first episode ever, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. I wanted to share some of the reviews that we've been getting on iTunes, because it really helps me keep this going and to know that I'm on the right path. And I feel like this work is so important and that it lights me up. And I know that it's helping and healing so many people out there. But I just wanted to share with you a couple of the reviews. And the first one is from Sit Still Heather. And she says, just listen to it. Exactly what I needed. Mamas were not alone. And when I read something like that, I just feel so lit up and so motivated to keep this going and to keep connecting with you, the listener, and providing you with awesome guests and awesome content. And I'll just share one more. It's from Susie2414. And she says, wonderful podcast, such a powerful episode and moment in episode 32 with Manisha Thakur regarding her discussion on her mental health journey. She and you happened to bring forth this conversation after a few really tough weeks with anxiety. Thank you for the encouragement to keep pursuing the right routine and personal health advocation for myself. Additionally, to continue to push this conversation to the forefront to help us all keep connected. Thank you. Ugh, I love it. Thank you so much, Susie, for your input. If you haven't left a review yet on iTunes, please do that. It does so much for the show, so much for the ratings, and it helps me create a better show for you, the listeners. So until next time, I love you guys. See you later.